us. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now.
Hey, everyone. The name's Jaden, and I'm the host of the hot new show on CFRC's block, Sounds of the Diaspora. On this show, we'll be celebrating black music across all eras, genres, and borders, with a dose of history and politics, from hip-hop to rock and roll, from Afrobeats to Bossa Nova. We're your one-stop shop for everything black, every Thursday at 10 p.m., only on 101.9 CFRC. And remember, the black of the berry, the sweeter the juice.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, since 1922. Find and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up in this special community takeover of our airwaves, we're delighted to welcome John Palmer and Daniel McConaughey, music director and board chair, respectively, of Orchestra Kingston, for a conversation about the orchestra, interspersed with live performances by the orchestra's brass quintet and special guest soloist, violinist Alessia Dudley, winner of the 2024 Kiwanis plaque for outstanding solo string performance. Since 2008, Orchestra Kingston has been performing concerts that feature a wide range of musical genres, with a special focus on Canadian music, often performing in collaboration with other community ensembles and professional soloists. They offer the public a concert season of high-quality symphonic music and music education opportunities for amateur, aspiring professional, and professional musicians. They prepare four or more concerts per year with a mixture of classical, Canadian, and shorter repertoire. Through their performances to the residents of Kingston, they enrich the public's understanding and appreciation for the performing arts while promoting the development of artists within our community. For their members, Orchestra Kingston provides a comfortable environment in which local amateur musicians can enjoy the experience of belonging and performing in an orchestra. We'll begin today's episode speaking with Alessia Dudley and then move to our conversation with John and Daniel, and we'll be interspersing it with music from the brass quintet and Alessia's solo performance. As part of this week's CFRC takeover of the airwaves, we have Orchestra Kingston in, and as a special part of that performance, the Orchestra Kingston Holiday Magic Show happening on Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Spire. And in addition to the brass quintet, they have a special guest, and I happen to have her in studio with me here, and that is Alessia Dudley. So welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So Alessia, you are a violinist.
Yes.
And how did you get invited to perform in this showcase?
So I actually entered the category, which was the concerto competition in the Kiwanis Music Festival last year. And so I happened to win. And so that made me get invited to play my piece that I played, which is the Bruch Concerto, with an actual live orchestra, which in my opinion is an amazing opportunity.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. So will this be your first time performing with an orchestra?
So I've played in an orchestra before, and I currently play in one, but this will be my first time as a soloist.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that nerve-wracking, exciting, a little bit of both?
I'd say it's a mixture of both. Definitely there's, since it's my first time, I'm not really sure what exactly to expect on the day of, but I'm mostly excited because playing with an orchestra is an amazing experience that I'm never going to forget.
Mm-hmm. So you're fairly young.
Yeah.
You're still in high school?
I'm still in high school, yeah.
And how long have you been playing for?
I don't remember a time where I haven't played the violin. So since like, I'd say like 3, 4, maybe even younger, I don't even know.
So yeah, that's an impressive career, well over a decade now. Yes. Into your career. What are your plans after this? Are you planning to pursue music? Is this a passion or a career or both for you?
I want to go into sciences, but I'd also like to continue music throughout my whole life. Like, I never want to stop playing. If it's possible to have a career in like science or medicine and music at the same time, I would love to make that happen for myself, just because they're so opposing, but they're also so important to me. So if I can find a way to combine both of them, I would be so happy.
I feel like now STEM has been the terminology for a long time, but I've seen lately STEAM, which is incorporating arts into it. And I do think that arts is a very important part of an education and can be very complementary to other streams of learning. So definitely see there's the possibility of those coexisting. You've mentioned the piece that you're going to be playing. Are you playing a couple of pieces?
So I will be playing the first movement of the Bruch Concerto as a soloist, and then I'm going to be joining the orchestra in the second half of the concert to just play it with them for the rest.
Okay. So. And you gave us a little sampling today.
I did.
How long is the actual solo?
So I'm going to go with 6 minutes around, maybe a bit longer than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you choose that piece? Was it your choice or was it something that was part of the competition that you were performing?
I chose the piece that I competed with. And since I won with that piece, then you're going to bring that piece to the solo with the orchestra. So, yes.
This is a tradition then? This is an ongoing competition that leads to this?
I think this is the second year that they've done this, and I think they're trying to make it a tradition in the community. So I'm very honored to, you know, be part of this new thing that we hope to bring to more young people in the community. Yeah.
Well, I have Ellie MacArthur here with me. Ellie, do you have any questions?
Is there a piece that you're most excited about?
Yes, actually. So I've been learning like the Mendelssohn Violin Concertos, so the first movement. I kind of took a look at it this summer, and I really hope to play that in the upcoming few months, I'd say. So I'm really excited about that.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about in relation either to this Orchestra Kingston opportunity?
I just really like to thank everyone who's made me the musician I am today. So this goes way back to when I was in Florida. My teacher, I was raised with the Suzuki method. So thank you to all the teachers who helped me there. Thank you to Canta Aria School for Strings, who currently has my teachers and all who have been guiding me currently in Kingston. I also wanted to thank the Kingston Youth Orchestra because they provided me 4 years of great opportunities. And finally, I want to thank the Queen's University community because they allowed me to be in their orchestra. So thank you so much to them.
Wonderful. So once again, you can catch Alicia along with Orchestra Kingston on Saturday, December 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Spire as part of Orchestra Kingston's Holiday Magic Performance. Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and today on our community takeover of the airwaves, we are delighted to be joined by Orchestra Kingston, and for the first time in this year's history at least, we are also going to be interspersing today's show with live performances from their brass quintet and also from violin soloist Alessia Dudley. So we have two individuals here who are going to be talking on behalf of Orchestra Kingston. And do you want to introduce yourselves? Let our listeners know who you are and what your role is with the orchestra.
My name is Daniel McConaughey. I'm the chairman of the board of the orchestra. I also play second bassoon in the orchestra.
My name is John Palmer. I'm the music director, conductor of Orchestra Kingston.
In a conversation we were having off air, you mentioned that you've been with the orchestra for a little while.
Yes. Orchestra Kingston started in mid-performance season, which is February. Usually a performance season goes from September to May for most ensembles in the city and, well, across the country for that matter. But we started in February in 2008, and I was asked to come and conduct the group, or I was asked if I would be interested in conducting the group, and I said yes, because it doesn't happen very often where you get a phone call and someone says, do you want to conduct an orchestra? So I said yes, and I've been involved with the group since then. It's a great group of people. We started with a small group. It evolved out of a chamber music group, which was, I think, an octet, and gradually grew from there, and people came in, and we didn't have the full instrumentation of an orchestra initially, but now we certainly do. We have a large string section. All the winds and brass parts are covered, percussion section, etc.
Yeah, I joined the orchestra in 2013, so my wife and I moved back to Kingston. We decided to retire here, as like a number of other people. But my wife and I both had a history of being in Kingston. We lived here off and on over the years, and we both did our undergrads here at Queen's. John and I actually, and my wife Martha, we were all in the same graduating class from Queen. So it was an interesting, Martha and I have been back, it was March, and I got a phone call wanting to know if I wanted to sub in to Orchestra Kingston. So I took my bassoon and showed up, and that was the beginning for me.
All right. So 2008 and 2013, but music's been a lifelong love for both of you, and you both did undergraduate studies in music here. And John, you were mentioning that before Orchestra Kingston, you also performed with the Kingston Symphony Orchestra?
Yes, I started playing with the Kingston Symphony in 1970. And I retired when COVID hit. I was a brass player, so I was playing a loud instrument, blowing a lot of hot air. And when COVID hit, people didn't want that to be happening around anyone.
Yeah.
And I was starting to lose the control of the instrument anyway, just playing, getting older and not having the precision that I used to have, and I was getting frustrated. So I retired from the symphony in might have been 2020. Can't remember. But that was a great run. It was a blast playing the Kingston Symphony. Mm-hmm. Great organization, good people running it, and it's a treat to go and hear their performances as well. But now we have Orchestra Kingston, which is a community orchestra, or some people would say, quote-unquote, amateur orchestra. Preferred term is community orchestra. That's how Orchestras Canada refers to groups like ours. So we're the second major orchestra in the city. There is the youth orchestra as well, which has been around for longer than Orchestra Kingston, but youth orchestra. So they draw from the high school crowd or younger, depending on the ability of the younger players. Thank you.
I did want to ask, what is the transition like going from a performer to someone who's directing the orchestra? Or conducting, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I was a music teacher in high school for, I taught high school for 20 years. That wasn't all in music. I also did computer science. But I had been doing a lot of conducting with school groups and with Brockville Concert Band when I lived there. So it wasn't much of a transition as far as actually conducting goes. But transition in repertoire was substantial because I'd never conducted an orchestra before, played in an orchestra for a long time. But conducting band pieces, which are typically 4 to 5 minutes in length, each one, sometimes you get a full suite, which might be 12, 15 minutes. But going from that to an orchestra where a lot of the repertoire is 25, 30, 35 minutes, that's a big leap, not just for the conductor, but also for the musicians to make that transition from a band or a small ensemble to a full orchestra setting. And it took a while for me to get used to that, and it took a while for the players in the orchestra to get used to that as well, because the people who started playing with Orchestra Kingston when it was first established were in small ensembles. Most of them had never played in an orchestra before. So working up to a full-length symphony, for example, took a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's an enormous conceptual leap to go from a 4 or 5 minute piece of music to something that's 25 to 30 minutes long. You're not just playing the notes that are in front of you at that moment. You have to keep in mind the entire piece of music. It's significant.
Community orchestra, too, has to be a unique experience for all involved. Can you tell me a little bit about the activities? How does one get involved with this organization, and what has the growth been like? You've talked about more instrumentation coming in and just the expansion of the orchestra in Kingston.
Well, Dan's a good example.
Well,
how have you got involved?
Yeah, so it's growing incrementally. So what's happened was, as John said, it started off, it was small. It was more like what would be called a chamber orchestra, so it was a small string section. So there was a full wind section. If you're going to have an orchestra, you have to have a full wind section. So brass and woodwinds and percussion. But the string section has grown over time. As the orchestra's gotten better, people have become more aware of us and have joined. We did an interesting thing this summer. We set up a booth on the promenade.
Okay.
And
nice.
And we were surprised by the number of people that, first of all, told us that they didn't know we existed. but also we ended up with some people who joined the orchestra.
Fantastic.
So it was a bonus for that, and kind of got our face of the orchestra out on the community.
Right.
I mean, the level's gone up. Players, as the orchestra's improved, the players' levels have improved, so we're actually playing harder music. So it's been a growth experience. I mean, I've been involved with the board since 2015, I think, and I've seen a tremendous change in that as well.
So you talk about growth, it's qualitative and quantitative.
Yeah.
How many members or how many musicians do you have now or at any one time? I imagine there's some fluctuation.
Well, we have about 65 musicians now.
Around there, yeah. It usually averages around a little under 60 for each performance because it's a community group. There's always somebody either sick or missing,
right,
out of town on holidays, got relatives coming, things like that. But that's the nature of a community group, and we recognize that from the outset. Just going back to what Dan had said about the orchestra starting, when we first started rehearsals, we had five violinists, 2 violas, I think, maybe 3 cellos and 1 bass. Now we have, when all the violinists are there, 17 violins, 4 violas, 10 cellos, and 3 basses. So it's an enormous difference because with the string section, you get a chorus effect, right? The violin section in the orchestra has 2 parts, first violin, second violin. So 7 or 8 people on first violin, 7 or 8 people on second violin. And if there's only 2 of those people on each part, you don't get much of a chorus effect.
Right.
But as soon as you triple that number. The difference is amazing. And of course, full winds and brass. And there's some repertoire that requires unique instruments that don't usually appear in the orchestral repertoire. Like the Christmas concert coming up, we have a bass clarinetist joining us. He's a young Queen student. Graham, awesome. He's doing a great job. And also one of our oboists will be doubling on English horn. And English horn doesn't show up frequently in orchestral repertoire as well. So it's been great to see the orchestra develop, to the numbers improve. And for the last 5 or 6 years, mostly since COVID, well, there was some before as well, I get emails during the summer saying, what does it take to join the orchestra? Mm-hmm. And it's mostly been from string players, which is great because people going through school, elementary or secondary school, people like Alessia, when they're in school, they have a place to play, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's in a youth orchestra or whatever. If they move to a place where they have a job, they don't necessarily have a place to play. You're either at a very high professional level, in which case you have to audition for a professional orchestra, or you're looking for a community group to play. So that's what happens to us. We get people who have played a fair amount during their school years, perhaps in their university years, but are now living and working somewhere, but still have an instrument and they want to play. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for a place to play, and we're the natural outlet for that.
So what does it take to join Orchestra Kingston?
Well, we audition for the principal positions. So we auditioned for concertmaster, who's the principal first violinist, principal second violin, for principal viola, principal cello, and principal bass, string bass. And in the wind section is flutes, oboe, clarinet, and bassoon. And if those positions become vacant, we audition for those as well. And usually, 80-90% of the time with orchestral repertoire, there are two flute parts, two oboe parts, two clarinet parts, two bassoon parts. And usually, there are four French horn parts in the orchestra, usually two trumpet parts, usually three trombone parts, a tuba, and then percussion. And the number of people playing in the percussion section varies from 1 to 6. So if you're a violinist or another string player, violist, cello, string player, bass player, who would like to play in the orchestra, come along and sit in and play. Join the group, do one session of rehearsals and one concert, and then we have a discussion with that person afterwards if they feel comfortable with the group, if we feel comfortable with their playing. In order to get one of the principal positions for any of the instruments, that position first has to become vacant. Mm-hmm. In our situation, it's just like a professional orchestra. Once you get a position like that and you audition for it, it's yours until you either walk away from it or lose it because of an illness or decide to retire. For wind or brass players, well, there aren't many. There's only two clarinets, two flutes, two oboes, two bassoons, right? So until a position becomes vacant, we don't have room for it.
Right. Is there a waiting list for people, or do you just encourage them to check in and reach out on occasion?
Well, there is sort of a waiting list. It's a sub-list that we have in case someone is ill, can't do a concert, can't do a rehearsal, and we have a list of people who have informed us that they are interested in playing, and we'll ask them to come out and fill in for a rehearsal or perhaps for a concert. And then if the person who is in the position that person who did subbing in would like to get, if they leave, then that position becomes available.
We'll be talking about a special event you have coming up shortly, but what are you generally working on throughout the year? How many performances are you putting on? When do you begin rehearsals? And how do you choose the music? I know that's a loaded question or series of questions.
We start rehearsing in September. Usually it's the first Tuesday after Labor Day weekend, and we have rehearsals every Tuesday up to Christmas, and then starting in January going to about the middle of May. So we put on 4 concerts a year. Usually it takes about 6 to 8 weeks is the amount of time you need to rehearse. And so we have a meeting usually in February, so we get all the people who are interested in maybe making suggestions for pieces that we'll perform. We have a meeting and we sit down and we talk about the different pieces and what we'd like to do. Might go with a theme, like for instance, a Christmas concert, which we're doing. We had a theme with that.
Thank you.
We try and pick music that complements our instrumentation and the players in the orchestra. We started to expand our performance into some tougher music. And we like to showcase local composers, so we do that as well. We perform pieces from people in the community who are composers, amateur composers. They're not making a living as composers. So it's a long sort of evolving process, and then we take a break in the summer. We're probably now going to change and make sure we get ourselves on the promenade every year now, because that is a major eye-opener for us as an organization. Yeah, and it's sort of an evolving process. So we talk about pieces, and then John looks at the pieces, looks at the instrumentation, has to decide, can we perform that piece? And then if he's happy with the choices, then we make up a program. He usually tries to kind of get a theme with it. Our big thing is that we do have this concerto competition, and we do this through the Kiwanis Festival. So that's usually in April now. You know, they changed the dates for it, and so now it happens in April, and we end up with two winners. There'll be a winner for the over 18 and a winner for the under 18. And what we do is we pay, like, so there's a prize through the Kiwanis, but also we have them come and play with us, the winners. So we had the young lady, a piano concerto, Alice Lee. She performed in our concert in November, the beginning of November. And we're doing the same with the young lady that you've interviewed already today.
With Alessia. What a wonderful opportunity to engage that younger generation. And, I mean, you say there's the over 18 as well, but to engage aspiring artists in the community and give them a showcase. I know in talking to her a moment ago, there was such palpable excitement about this opportunity, especially, I think, for people who are maybe practicing in class or in small groups, to have the opportunity to solo in such a large format, but with what sounds like a really welcoming orchestra as well.
Oh, we're really pleased that she's going to come and play with us. This is, you know, it's not just a performance, but we're going to treat her as a professional. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay her for her performance, what we would pay the fees for any soloist in performance with us. That's one of the things that John likes to do, is identify soloists in the city to perform with us. So we've showcased different artists who live here in Kingston. We've also do joint concerts with choirs as well. We've done concerts with the Kingston Choral Society. We've performed Messiah, the Mozart Requiem. We've done that with them.
Yep, and for the Christmas concert coming up, we have the Kingston Capital Men's Chorus, men singing, and it's Ian Juby as the director, so they'll be our guests for this Christmas concert. It's great to have a choir at Christmas.
Yeah.
Great. And then for the February and May concerts, our guest soloists are, well, in February, it's Corey Van Allen, who you saw here playing French horn. He's a local, he's the principal horn player in the orchestra, but he's going to be our soloist for the February concert. And then for the May concert, it'll be Sammy Johnson, who went to Regiopolis Notre Dame. Her parents still live here, and Sammy is currently teaching in Ottawa, and she was our principal clarinet player for a couple of years, but she got a permanent teaching job in Ottawa, so that's where she is. But she'll be coming back to play a clarinet concerto with us in May.
So yeah,
we focus on local soloists.
So your next performance that you have coming up is your Holiday Magic event, Saturday, December 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Spire. You've mentioned Alessia Dudley is going to be playing violin, and you have the Kingston Capital Men's Chorus with Ian Juby. Do you want to talk more about what people can expect from this performance?
It's a Christmas concert. there will be some sing-along. We'll sing a couple of carols, and the audience will be invited to join in. The men will be singing, I think, four short pieces, some with orchestral accompaniment and some with piano accompaniment. Scott Davey, who teaches music at Frontenac Secondary School, is the accompanist for the men's chorus. He's a terrific keyboard player. And then the music that we'll have is some selections from the Nutcracker Ballet Suite by Tchaikovsky and Lorenzo Civilotti, who was here playing trombone with the quintet, will actually be conducting that this year. So he's more or less a guest conductor. I'll be conducting the other orchestral pieces, some of which are based on carols. Dan has written a piece, a medley called Yuletide Celebration, which incorporates, what, six carols?
Yeah.
And I wrote a piece called Christmas Past, which has either five or six carols, can't remember which, and also a medley of Hanukkah tunes. And then Ian Juby will be conducting the pieces where the choir is singing with the orchestra and when the choir has piano accompaniment. And then we have a special guest conductor for the last piece on the program. That's a surprise.
Surprises are always good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So tickets for this are $25 for adults, $20 for seniors or students, and 16 and under is free, which is fantastic. Do you want to tell people where they can find out more information about Orchestra Kingston? If they want to reach out, if they want to go to a show or find out the upcoming performances that you have?
Our webpage, orchestrakingston.ca. There's links on there to tickets. There's information about the orchestra, information about joining the orchestra, bios of our principal string players, and there's a bio of John. There's a great picture of the orchestra on the front page. So you could get your information there. Our tickets are available through the Spire, and we're one of the home groups in the Spire. We've become kind of part of the groups that perform there, like Cantabile Choir, the Kingston Choral Society, and ourselves.
And tickets available at the door as well?
Yes.
Although you probably don't want to wait to get them at the door. Probably want to make sure you snap those up in advance.
Yeah.
Things sell out in Kingston, especially around the holidays and for something special like this, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's great. And now the Spire has its own online box office as well. Mm. It makes it a lot easier to get tickets for any of the concerts going on at the Spire. And they also have the ability to take a credit card at the door as well. Now.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. So no excuses.
None.
You're making it as easy as possible. Yeah. For people to give you their money and support Orchestra Kingston with holiday magic. We have been interspersing music throughout today's show. Can you take a moment to introduce us to who we've been listening to from the quintet?
The brass quintet. Two trumpet players, Rick Kalick and Jillian McDonald. French horn players, Corey Van Allen. Trombone players, Lorenzo Civilotti. And the tuba player is Mark Moise. And they play with Orchestra Kingston. And then you heard Alessia Dudley as well, who will be our guest soloist. And many years ago, I played in a brass quintet with Corey. I've also played in groups with Jillian and Mark, for that matter. That's ancient history. But they're all dedicated musicians. They're great to work with. They love to play.
Yeah.
It was certainly a pleasure to get to hear them live here, and I hope that listeners are appreciating this little taste. And if you want to hear more, and of course you do, don't forget to visit orchestrakingston.ca or go on the Spire's website. Information on tickets are there. Again, it's Saturday, December 13th at 7:30 p.m. Do either of you have anything else that you want to add? Comments? Explanation of what's the difference between a French and an English horn?
Oh, well... French horn, as we know it now, evolved out of a hunting horn, which was held with one hand. It was just a long tube, right? Now it has valves on it, so it's completely chromatic. An English horn, some people say, is a misnomer because it looks like an elongated oboe, which is what it is, really.
Yeah, what it is. Huh.
And we think, some people think, that the name of English horn comes from the French name for the instrument, which was cor anglais. But anglais may be English or it may be an angle, because the angle of the tube for the reed going into the instrument, well, it's on an angle, whereas an oboe, it goes straight into the instrument. The double reed for the English horn goes in at an angle. So there's a debate about that. I'm sure somebody will call in and correct me. But that's fine. So an English horn is a woodwind instrument. and it looks just like an oboe, but it's longer, so it's pitched a little lower, whereas the French horn is a brass instrument.
Okay.
It has a very dark sound.
I would imagine, yeah, it's a deeper oboe.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both. And thank you, obviously, to the quintet for joining us, for Alessia for joining us, and thank you to you both for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having the opportunity to see and watch some of the music and to listen to it and to find out more about Orchestra Kingston. Any final words?
I would just like to say to the Orchestra Kingston members in particular that it's great to be able to work with the people in the orchestra. They're all dedicated. They love to play. Every single performance is better than any rehearsal we ever have because they're 100% focused on what's going to happen. They love to play for the audiences. It's great to see them. And it's such a feeling of accomplishment at the end of every single performance. And it's just great to work with those people. So a special thank you to all those. And to those of you who come to the performances.
And thank you for hosting us today.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Have a community-based project that needs funding? The Lavana Gender Advocacy Center can help. Lavana is an anti-oppressive, radical collective of student activists that organizes and funds a variety of events and projects, from community care to education.